fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Saturday, July 5th, the day after Independence Day here in America. America for those that are from the South. America for those that are from Texas. They're their own country. But it's me, it's Mr. FSP, joining you because it's looking always and forever. I'll be the one to bring you all the info. And having fun, 'cause every day FSP is in his own special way with his co-host J to the T with a master plan on Sunday. But this is FSP.
Oh boy.
Saturday, 1 p.m. All right, okay.
Forgive him, folks, for he knows that what he does.
Whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. I know I can't sing. I can rap a little bit. I can talk a lot. But I can give you fantasy advice the best, along with business information and motivation and variety. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Politics Saturday, 1 p.m. edition with me, it's Mr. Steph SV and JTATM Money, brought to you by Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com, where winners win and players play. So go there today to make your deals and get paid always and forever, because that's what we do. Don't take the bonus. Do not take the bonus. That's all I got to say. Don't take the bonus. On today's show, JT and I, We got a lot in store for you, okay? Today we're going to discuss the AFC South and North. We'll talk about fantasy drafting, fantasy football drafting. I have a fantasy football issue, and this is my intervention. I drafted on Wednesday, July 1st or whatever it was, and we're going to discuss that. The draft, because Jerry was online with me. Of course, I have to do my own thing because Jerry doesn't know too much, but he was there to lend his little bit of advice, and I already have a trade offer, and I counted it, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about NBA action, opting out. Who says that Cleveland's starting five will be Kyrie Irving, Jermaine Wiggins, LeBron James, Kevin Love, and Anderson Varejao.
Ooh, serious lineup.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen, but we're going to talk about how it could happen. That friend is none other than Justin Wayne. He's over in Korea right now, so he's probably in his bed. So we'll give him a shout-out. We're going to talk about that, along with Carmelo Anthony and all these other cats, where they're going to go, what they're going to do, and how they're going to get the dream team again. How the NBA has set itself up to do this for franchises and for players. And we'll talk about it. I have my opinions, but we'll talk about it. Also, I'm going to talk to you, because I know Jerry's not going to be interested, about UFC 175. Stop hating, dude. Stop hating. UFC 175, which is happening today here I believe it's in the United States. I got to check and see. I believe it's in the U.S. Yeah, it's in Vegas, of course. But you got Chris Weidman, the champion, going against Lyoto Machida, the former champion, current number 3 overall. But there are some good fights that set for this card. The free stuff on UFC Fight Pass, and then on Fox Sports 1 at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. Oh, excuse me, 5 p.m. Pacific. Some great fights. And then the main event, of course, has some good fights. We'll talk about that as well. But before I keep rambling on and on and on, let JT get in here and say something a little edgewise because he was flipping pages, interrupting my soliloquy, my song, my new entrance music that I was putting together. But go ahead, JT. What's going on?
What's that now? What were you saying? How you doing, my man?
See, there you go. There you go. Not paying attention. Was your ears on mute as long as with the microphones?
Well, you were talking so quick, and you were talking about so many different things. I tuned out when you started talking about UCF, and then you quickly
UFC.
Transitioned to something else. Well,
UFC.
That's what I'm talking about. UFC.
Oh, they're going to make me beat you up. They're going to make me beat you up. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get in on our conversations, which are typically a little wild and crazy.
Because we're three wild, two wild and crazy guys, but go ahead.
Yes. You can always call on the FantasySportsBookingCasino.com hotline. That number is 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. If you're on a phone, well, let's put it this way. If you're on a computer and you want to listen to us another way because you don't want to have too many things going on your computer, listen to us on your phone. You can do it easily. Go to blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK on your smartphone. Set an app icon on your front page of your phone. And when we go live, you can stream us live from your phone and do other things. You can also call in, too, if you want. But, again, that's blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. And later on in the day, we're going to have this show, along with many others, uploaded to our 24/7, 365 stream. I say again, 24/7, 365 streaming radio station at spotonradio.webs.com. Always and forever, baby. Always and forever. All right, so check it out. Since JT don't want to talk anyway, I might as well get it out the way. Although I hope he has something to say, because there are some women fighting. Let's talk about UFC 175. Right now, we've got a pretty stacked card here. I really want to talk about maybe 4 or 5 fights before we move on. And I'm going to talk about the main event for the prelims on Fox 1. Now, the main event features Uriah Faber. The California King is a very, very good fighter. But, you know, he's getting up there in age. But he's still young, and he's still a terror. He's 30-7, and 30% of his wins have come by KO, 50 by submission. Now, the guy is pretty daggone good, okay? But he's going up against a young guy that was on Ultimate Fighter, I forget which season, but Alex Caceres, a.k.a. Bruce Leroy, and you can figure out why they call him Bruce Leroy. I'm not going to get into that. But he's 10-5-1, no decision. The kid, he's explosive, but he's stepping up big time, and I mean big time, to face Uriah Faber. Again, Faber's the number 2 ranked, bantamweight at, I think, 135. And Caceres is number 11. Now, this kid has major talents. Uriah Faber may or may not get another shot at the title anytime soon or at all. But if Bruce Leroy, a.k.a. Alex Caceres, a.k.a. Bruce Leroy, can defeat him, it would be a feather in his cap, and it would send Uriah Faber tumbling down the ranks. It's a great match, however. Bruce Leroy has a 4-inch height advantage. 4 inches is pretty significant, especially when you're talking about these fast, lightweight guys, because he can jab them to death if he chooses to, but that's not Leroy's way. But with the experience factor, I believe Uriah Faber should defeat Alex Caceres handily, at least by the second round. If it's not by tap out, it's by submission in the second round. That's what I think. Let's move on to the next fight. Let's go on to the main card. The main card sees a guy that should have won his Ultimate Fighter debut or his Ultimate Fighter tournament, but he didn't. I'm talking about Uriah Hall, primetime Uriah Hall. This guy is a straight monster. Straight, when I say monster, Jerry, I think this guy has a chance of actually one day headlining for the title against Chris Weidman. I'm going to get to that fight in a minute. This guy's 9-4. 78 of his wins have come by KO, but he has a vicious wheel kick. He's one of these guys that when you get in the octagon with him, you don't know what you're going to get. He's that versatile. Now, his opponent for today is going to be Thiago Santos, who's 9-2. 56% of his wins have come by KO. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know much about this guy other than the fact that he's pretty solid. He throws a lot of punches. He throws a lot of feints, a lot of stuff. He's pretty good at defense. I honestly think that Uriah Hall is going to have not an easy time at it, but I think he's going to have an opportunity to showcase his talents and defeat Santos and move up in the ranks, because if he can knock this guy out, it shows a lot, especially because this kid comes in with a lot of hype. And that's what I'm going to pick Uriah Hall by KO. Don't know which round, but I'm picking by KO. The next fight that I want to talk about on the main card talks about the return of the tallest MMA fighter in the UFC, and that's Stefan Struve, Skyscraper. He's 84 inches tall. 84 inches. But his problem is he has a weak jaw. He has a weak jaw, and I can see him getting KO'd. But he's 29-6. He's facing Matt Mitrione, who is a former tough winner as well. Matt Mitrione is 7-3. The guy's pretty good. Now, the thing about Matt Mitrione is they're showing he's 265 pounds. That tells me he's not in the best of shape for this fight. Stefan Struve at 84 inches is 238 pounds. That means he's really lean because he's that tall. Now, if Mitrione can find a way to get in on Struve, I think he can put that weight on him and punish him really badly with some hammer fists and stuff. I think Matt Mitrione has a chance of knocking out Struve. If he can get on him, I'm going to pick, in an upset, Matt Mitrione, because I think he's just a pretty decent talent. He's a decent talent that I really think is better than Stefan Struve. We'll see what happens, but I don't know how he's going to win, but I think he's going to win. For a fight that I know JT's probably interested in, if you were interested in any of this, Ronda Rousey, the 135-pound bantamweight champion in the female division. She is 9-0. All of her, she has one KO, but eight of her wins have come by armbar submission. Now, she's fighting somebody It's a little well-rounded, And Alexis Davis, Ms. Davis is 16-5, 44 wins by submission, 44% of his wins by decision, 44% of her wins by submission, 13% of her wins by KO. That means she probably knocked out one person as well, or TKO, however you want to put it. And she throws a lot of punches. Almost 5 punches landed per minute. Now, that's a lot. That is a lot for mixed martial arts, mainly because there's a lot of feints and a lot of kicks and stuff. But if you can land almost 5 punches a minute in mixed martial arts, that's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Now, her accuracy isn't that good, but Ronda Rousey's accuracy is pretty good with the punches she throws. I don't know if she's been able to armbar this girl, because this girl is kind of big and stout. And she has one of those dude chins. It's going to be tough to get her legs underneath that chin to get the armbar. She might pull it out by armbar, but I'm thinking this might go to decision. I think it'll be Ronda's first win by decision, only because the armbar, I don't think is going to work on this young lady. She might have to work on her stand-up some more. Last fight, she did a lot of punching. She did a lot of punching, and she showed she had a jaw. But hopefully she doesn't do that this time, because I think this chick, Alexis Davis, can knock her out. So if Ronda can stay away from that and get the victory, I think she'll win. Of course, I think she's going to win, because I think she's just that damn good. On to the main event. Now, for the main event of UFC 175, you've got Chris Weidman, the champion, going against Lyoto the Dragon Machida, who's a former champion. Now, Lyoto is a karate guy. His fights are boring. They are boring. And I mean that in the most disrespectful way, because when he attacks, it's quick attacks, and then he just runs around. Quick attacks, backs out, runs around. Quick attacks, I don't like that. I think that's the reason why he hasn't had an opportunity to fight for the title, but he's gone on a recent tear to win his last few fights in order to get the title shot. But I don't like his style, and we're going to hear from the champion, Chris Weidman, on how he prepared for this style and Lyoto Machida.
It's more of a mental battle. I always prepare for absolute war. I prepare to handle adversity. I prepare to get dropped, and I visualize myself, you know, losing rounds and trying to figure out a way to win. But that being said, I am going out there to finish him.
Questions
so,
for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it Machida or Weidman that has never been taken down?
Weidman.
Okay.
How do you know that?
Because I'm reading up on it as you speak.
Oh, okay.
So because you're finally, you're trying to, no, I would say trying to, you're talking about so much, it piqued my curiosity. So I brought up this match between these two guys. Weidman's coming off 2 consecutive victories, never been taken down, considered, he thinks that the guy he's fighting is a better fighter than Anderson Silva, the last guy he fought.
Correct. And Anderson Silva was considered the best pound-for-pound mixed martial artist. And the first time they fought, Chris Weidman knocked him out. That's when I was in Vegas. And the last time they fought, he checked the kick of Anderson Silva and broke Anderson Silva's shank in half. The bone shot out of the leg on live pay-per-view TV. So this kid is solid. He's very technical. He's very gifted. Lyoto Machida, again, he's one of these guys that he'll run, he'll fight. He's one of those Chuck and Duckers. What I mean by that is I'm going to hit you a few 4 or 5 times, then I'm going to run away. If I feel like I need to attack, I'll attack, but then I'll get out. I'm not going to stay in the pocket and bang with you, which is smart because he's been knocked out. He's also knocked some other people out, too. He's a very talented fighter. I just don't like his style of fight. He's one of those guys that If he's headlining a card, I'm looking for the guy that he's fighting to try to knock him out. But he's so quick that it's hard to do that. I'm going to watch this fight, but only because I think Chris Weidman is going to get his hands on him and just, you know, put the paws on him.
Well, I don't know if this is a wagerable fight on the fantasy sportsbook and casino.com hotline.
It is.
Well, let me put it this way, because I read this article. The reason I'm reading this article and mentioning this, Vic, because this, to me, and I could be off base here, could be in for a little upset here. The reason I'm saying is I'm looking at that, and Weidman had to delay the Machida fight from late May because he required surgery on both knees for meniscus tears, and he's fighting in July. And he had surgery on two knees for meniscus tears. Man, I'm telling you, that doesn't sound too well. One knee, okay. Both knees, and he had surgery on them, whatever it was, scoped or whatever, and he's fighting this soon. Ooh. You know, this guy's going to test his knees out. You know he's going to do that. Wow. I don't know what the odds are. I don't know how this thing is set up in the betting, but I'm just saying for people who are listening and pay attention to UFC and maybe even like wagering and taking a shot, you got a guy who's the champion going again in the fight. 2 months ago, he's had surgery on both knees, and he's into this fight now. Man, that's a recipe, in my opinion, for disaster.
Okay. Understandable. I understand that. But I think because of Machida's style, unless he attacks, and he does like to throw a lot of leg kicks. But because of his style, I don't see Machida winning this fight, unless he just goes all out. He has to go all out. And you know, when he goes all out, he sets himself up for a possible KO or a takedown or whatever. And the problem is, if he does that, you know, Weidman can get him on the ground, and he's a superb wrestler. Machida isn't that good on the ground. Machida's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, got it. But when you have a wrestler on top of you, ground and pounding you, all the things you look for are, you know, triangle chokes or stuff like that. And it's going to be tough with this guy. It's going to be tough, but we'll see. I mean, hey, if you want to go to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com and place a wager, you can do it's a 5-round fight. Do you think it's going to full five, or do you think it's going to be a stoppage at some point, Jerry?
It's not going to full five.
Not going to full five.
No way, no how. This kid, I imagine that he's probably going to go all out. He's going to test to see where this guy's legs are at, how strong his knees are. Now, just like I read it, this guy knows it. He's inside, so he knows this guy's had surgery on his knees, but meniscus tears, and he's 2 months in past that. I mean, that's crazy. There's no way I would have a fight if I had surgery on both knees going to a championship fight. I got too much to lose. So, you got too much to lose. The other guy has nothing to lose. Go all out. See what you can test him out. See where you're at. You always have a plan B in probably any of these fights. Shoot for plan A. Plan A works out, keep to it. If plan A doesn't work out, go to plan B or even C if you have one. Definitely you. You can go two ways. You can let it go or try to string it out for the first two rounds. Get him tired, because the fact is that he's had these tears. I know he's probably worked out like a fiend, but surgery on the knees, It's going to take some recovery time first. After recovery time, basically what it is, the rehab, you're going to rehab your way all the way back, or it's still going to take some time to be completely back from surgery on both knees. So he can go one of two ways. He can go all out early, or he can wait to the second or third round and try to wear this guy's legs down. Because the longer this fight goes, the more leg weary the champion is going to be, because he can't be completely healed and completely in shape from having double knee surgery. There's no way. So depending on which way he goes, I like the challenger in this fight, man. I'm telling you. I mean, you got a weakness right there. You got a weakness right there.
Then you need to go to PassionSportsBookAndCasino.com, load some money up, and place your wager. And everybody else feels that way. Because I think differently. But who am I? I'm just a host. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, that ends our UFC 175 preview. I'm glad I got Jerry involved. And
he got me involved. Amazing. How long has it been?
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know what got him so into it, but I'm glad he's into it. but we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about all these NBA players opting out of their contracts and the possibility of Kyrie Irving, Jermaine LeBron James, Kevin Love, and Anderson Varejao being in Cleveland? We'll talk about that in a minute. Stick it to me, your boy FSP and JTATM Money. We'll be back. Un momento.
For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad to, this is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to
What's up, fellas?
Join us.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, baby?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety.
I did not have a relation with that woman, but I do listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics at 6 p.m. on Saturdays with Victor Gardner and Rick Saban. Hillary, I need a big Bubba cheesesteak. Thank you, y'all.
So you think you know something about fantasy sports, huh? Well, I've got a challenge for you. Would you be willing to go head-to-head against some of the best minds in fantasy sports, like the FSP crew, The Master, Black, Jeff the Joker, and others? Well, for a limited time, you can acquire your own fantasy team. That's right, you can own a fantasy football, baseball, or basketball team and beat the host of Fantasy Sports and Politics at their own game. For more information, go to fantasysportsandpolitics.web.com. That's fantasysportsandpolitics.web.com.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. It's Mr. Steph SP doing a different deal for you all day, every day, every time I get on the MIC with your boy JT.
Before we go any further, man.
I got to apologize to you. Can I apologize to you first?
Yes.
I want to apologize to JT for the one commercial that mentions Rick Stevens and not JT.
I'm hurt.
I know. That's why I'm apologizing. That's why I'm already apologizing to you. So, with that being said, let's keep it moving. Go ahead. What you going to say now?
Why do you say it like that? Anyway, this is a UFC fight. Is it pay-per-view or is it what?
It is a pay-per-view. However, the prelims are going to be on Fox Sports 1, and they are free.
Okay.
I only talked about one fight on that card because I only like one fight on that card, even though there are a couple good ones. That's Uriah Faber and Caressus, a.k.a. Bruce Leroy fight. So
the pay-per-view part of it would be the Rousey fight and the Weidman fight. Am I right about that?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
And you know where to go to look at them.
Yes, I do.
And I know you're going to look at Ronda Rousey and Alexis Davis. I know you're going to look at that intently.
Well, you know. That's how we roll, man. You know. Well, you know.
All right. Anyway, speaking of things looked at intently, okay, guys, here's a question. Since the NBA's already talking about another lockout in the next 3 to 4 years, which is ridiculous to me.
Sure.
It's just another reason for me to, you know, boycott the NBA. The owners and the players have made it so, with this current CBA, that players such as Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron James can be on one team for a short period of time. They then have to leave that team, and this is what it, in essence, comes down to. They have to then disband that team somehow, some way, and go somewhere else, and then they can come back within 3 or 4 years and do the same thing all over again. Now, players opting out of the contract. The entire roster of the Miami Heat did this except for one player. It was ridiculous. Ridiculous. But they don't have enough money to get certain players. Now you got Kobe Bryant and the Lakers attempting to woo Carmelo Anthony. You got the Knicks trying to convince LBJ and Melo to come to New York. But can they both play in the triangle? And will they listen to Derek Fisher? I don't know. And who's going to be the third man? Tyson Chandler, which is good, but who's going to handle The Rock?
Tyson Chandler is no longer with the Knicks.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. He got traded, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He and Shumpert, I think, right?
Yeah, no. Raymond Felton.
Okay, they got traded. Well, mm-hmm. That leaves Amari Stoudemire. Definitely not going to happen there. Definitely not. So, with all these players going to these different places, doing these different things, and creating salary cap friendly teams of superstars, it's a win-win for these superstar players and the owners. The owners that get these teams or get these players, they're going to get championships. They're only going to pay $30 million to one player. One player is going to get a max contract. And one player isn't. And another player will get, you know, above average money. But that's the trade-off for getting a championship. Now, my friend, and you probably remember him too, JT, his name is Justin Wayne, and a.k.a. Buckeyes for Life, or Living mm-hmm. in a Hole. He's a Cleveland Cavalier fan. He's an Ohio guy. He's from Ohio. And he told me earlier today that there's a way that he can see Kevin Love, LeBron James, Wiggins, Kyrie Irving, and Anderson Varejao playing on the same team in Cleveland. And I said, no way possible, because they just gave Irving the max contract, $90 million. LeBron wants max money. You can't do that. He proceeded to say, well, yeah, you can, because once you cut Anderson Varejao, he comes back at a lower rate because he's due to get $9.8 million this year. But you cut him, he resigned for significantly less. You trade off the two other players that were making some money. You're bringing Kevin Love and LeBron James, and you resign Anderson Varejao. And it started to make sense, because Kevin Love wants a title. If he wanted max money, he would have stayed in Minnesota. So that's obviously not his concern right now. His concern is winning a championship. So I can see him being the Dwayne Wade of the three, or the Chris Bosh of the new big three, Kyrie being Dwayne Wade and LeBron being LeBron, of course, and you add Wiggins in there, a rookie, who has a lot of upside and can play defense, and Anthony Varejao is an offensive guy that can play defense as well, it seems very plausible. I didn't want to believe it. But Cleveland is a city that might come from, so ride, ride. They just might get the NBA title if this happens. Will it happen? I don't know. But I want to get your thoughts on the NBA, all this opting out, and that possible scenario that Living in the Hole brought out.
Well, due to what the collective bargaining agreement and the contracts they have with these teams, players' prerogative is to opt out or not to opt out. And quite a few of them have elected to opt out to shop their wares to see if they can get a good deal somewhere else and to put pressure on their team they opted out from pony up with a deal that would be agreeable to both sides, especially the player. Quite naturally, all these guys talk to each other. The other teams can't do that. And they pretty much, just like the big three did in Miami, arrange for themselves to have a certain type of team. And it's also plausible that what your friend said, Justin, said about the Cleveland Cavaliers scenario with those three players along with the rookie, four players, whatever it is, it could possibly happen. I don't think it will, but it's very interesting. What if? It's a very interesting what if that happens. Quite naturally, there'd be a huge buzz back in Cleveland. LeBron going home, the new kid on the block, Kyrie Irving, who's the new sensation in Cleveland now, and also the highly touted first-round pick, Andrew Wiggins. That is a very interesting lineup, along with Anderson Varejao and Kevin Love. In this scenario, that is a hell of a lineup, in my opinion. Starting five, you got a little bit of everything on that lineup: defense, offense, long range offense, short range offense. That's a hell of a lineup. Let me put it that way, and they would be instant contenders, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Well, you know, JT, here, let's listen to two people real quick. There's a reporter, Jason Whitlock, who says LeBron James has no problem becoming a mercenary. Then we're going to hear from a Hall of Famer, Zeke, Isaiah Thomas, or LBJ. And I want to get your thoughts on what these two gentlemen have to say before we move to football. You ready? Here we go.
Sure.
LeBron doesn't care about short-term perception. He learned that in 2010. He cares about long-term perception. He knows that he needs to get where he wants to go, which someday is to have such a brand that he can possibly be an NBA owner, that he's got to win as many championships as possible. And if that requires him to go to a different team, I think he's willing to do that.
And I think that's the Michael Jordan formula, except Michael stayed with the Bulls for a long time before he went to ownership. Then he came back to basketball to help the Wizards. Then he went to Charlotte, owned the Hornets, played for them for a hot minute. Now he owns the Hornets. But here's Isaiah Thomas on LBJ.
I think he looks at Houston when we're talking LeBron James. I think he looks at Houston. I think he also looks at Cleveland in terms of going back home. There's always an emotional tie there. He likes Akron.
So, your thoughts, JT?
I agree with Isaiah, especially on the Cleveland front. He's got ties there. He born and raised in the Cleveland area, Akron. So I can see him going back there. I mean, he's getting his agent's been listening to a lot of teams, a lot of name teams, Houston, L.A., Chicago. I imagine Cleveland's probably jumped in there somewhere and got an audience with the agent. I don't think LeBron sat down and talked to any of these teams. I think it's just been purely handled by the agent right now. And LeBron just wants probably the agent to bring him the best scenarios and best deal, and then he can wait from there whether to stay with Miami or go somewhere else. But you sit back. He's from Cleveland, born and raised there. He still lives back there in Ohio. And you got a very good point guard in Kyrie Irving, very young and extremely got some nice upside. Anderson Varejao, you got some pieces that can be added. If LeBron comes there and adds Kevin Love, you got a young dynamo, the first pick with Andrew Wiggins. I'm telling you, like I said, I'll say it again. Instant contenders. If the starting five that we've been talking about land in Cleveland, or even a starting three or four, including the rookie, that is a very formidable lineup, and they would be, like I said again, and I'll say it again, instant contenders, without a doubt. You put LeBron in there, you're going to draw some other talent with him. Instant contenders.
Okay. I mean, I have no doubt that that would be instant contenders, but the likelihood of it happening, I don't know. Last topic that we're going to talk about here is Melo. There was a little interesting thing that took place in Houston where Melo was shown on the billboard wearing Jeremy Lamb's jersey, and Jeremy Lamb tweeted something out, because there isn't a good relationship apparently between the two, where it says he says something I forget which Bible verse he quoted, but it was pretty much, you know, turn the other cheek, and if someone were to take your clothes, you give them if they were to do something, give them the clothes off your back or something like that, referencing the fact that it would be his jersey that would, you know, go to Melo, and then he would probably not be in Houston. Because he couldn't afford to pay Harden, Howard, and Lynn, because Lynn has a big contract too, unless he came back for a very low price and then came off the bench. So, which he already does now. So, your thoughts on Melo, where he might land, and why he hasn't, he said he's going to make a decision within a week. So I believe it's coming up this week coming up. So tell me your thoughts on Melo.
I'm loving this one. Anyway, from what I understand, that L.A. has offered him a max deal after he met with Kobe, and I guess the L.A. organization got their heads together. They offered Melo a max deal. Quite naturally, the Knicks are in a position to offer him a max deal also. I also read that Melo is on board with the game plan that Phil Jackson has in place. I also understand that there's some little friction between the Houston organization, especially between Harden and Dwight Howard. Howard wants the ball more. And quite naturally, Harden is the man there, and it would be an issue if another player, as in Carmelo, goes to there about touches, who's getting the ball and when they're getting the ball. I think a player like Melo compared to a player like LBJ, LeBron James, Melo needs the ball. Melo wants to be the man and get paid for being the man. So I think he goes back to New York. I really believe that his wife, the whole family, likes New York. His wife wants him to stay in New York. Lala loves New York. He's got a 7-year-old son that's been basically growing up in New York. I think he stays in New York because he's more comfortable there, and he can get max money there.
Well, who do they bring to New York to help?
Well, you have to think something here. They already brought a better point guard than they had before that can score with Jose Calderon, who has range and is fearless. I'm not saying he's an all-star, but he's an absolutely fearless point guard with being an offensive threat. Now, you have to understand that Phil Jackson, he'd probably talk to his agent and maybe Melo and explain to him, because they went out to L.A. The Knicks went out to L.A. when Melo was out there with the Lakers and met with Melo out there. So you can understand, you can believe that they had some type of plan in place of what they want to do if Melo is on board with it. So they're making a hard run at Melo, because that's the key. That's the key. If Melo doesn't return, then it's going to be tough for the Knicks to do anything, meaning being able to contend. Right now, they're right on the edge, and I really believe this. They're right on the edge. I'm not saying this as a fan. I'm saying this from as objective as I can possibly be. I think they're right on the edge, and it's only going to take one or two players, if Melo stays, to being serious contenders, meaning the Indiana Pacers and type of contenders, rather than a step below that.
I'm telling you.
Let me put it this way. Now, got rid of Tyson Chandler. That's a hurt. But you got rid of a point guard that was really a hindrance rather than an asset. And you got a point guard, and I'm not saying he's an all-star, but he's a hell of a lot better with better range and he's plays well with others in Jose Calderon. I'm thinking Phil Jackson got a plan, and he's probably expressed it to Melo, and Melo just has to weigh whether he wants to go someplace that he doesn't know about, or he wants to stay in New York that he knows about and knows what the plan is about.
All right. Well, we're going to table this conversation for right now. We're going to move on to another conversation, only because we're running low on time. Again, I plan to boycott the NBA until Donald Sterling has been removed. So my plan isn't to continue to talk about this crap, because, I mean, it is interesting. It is very interesting. But I don't like Donald Sterling, and I don't like his type of people. Those type of people. I'm being just, you know, funny when I say that because of
what you're saying. I understand.
All right. Well, anyway, we're going to step out real quick, take a quick break. When we return, once you hear, bam, ha, you know it's football time, ladies and gentlemen. You know it's football time. And we're gearing up for the return of one of our favorite shows. Maybe, we'll see. Here we go. Be right back in a minute.
If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The Master Plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is The Master Plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety. If you're into fantasy sports, you're going to love the Fantasy Sports Show with host Victor Gardner and co-hosts Jerry and Black every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. This show is so hot, I can only play the intro.
Fantasy Sports and Policy.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Fantasy Sports Show. Information, motivation, variety.
Hi, I'm Russell Gilchrist. When I need fantasy sports advice, I listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics on Blog Talk Radio.
No! Carrying the ball 20 times a game requires power and valor. Not niftiness. The water bug and whippet backs rarely survive the wail and howl of the banshee. Stack defenses in the pros. They must meld the buck of a billy goat with the sudden surge of a sprinter. He does not move with polish or slickness. His method is not Grand Prix, but Demolition Derby.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen. It's me, Mr. FSP. And when you hear that music in the background, there's the horn right there. You know it's time for me and JT to get down with some fantasy football information and motivation. That music ain't too loud, is it, JT? JT.
What's that?
I said, is the music too loud?
No. Run with it, my man.
All right, here we go. We're going to break down the AFC South and the NFC South today, right now. So this might go in overtime, ladies. Well, it will go in overtime. We're going to start with the team that I think is going to finish last in the AFC South. Not because they don't have the talent, but because they're young. Here we go. Who tied, despite scoring just two touchdowns, Kendall Wright has the look of a future star. Wright put 64 passes as a rookie, increased that total to 94 last season. With new coach Ken Whittenhunt arrival, Wright could even be more of a weapon this season. Here we go. Who's not? Running back Sean Green, who was relegated to a backup duty last season behind Chris Johnson, but one has to wonder if he'll put up the same numbers he did with the Jets, even in a starting role. Why? Because Whittenhunt favors the pass and has some intriguing weapons with which to play with. Personnel, I mean, this is going to be the starter in Tennessee. Next factor is, of course, the make-it-or-break-it year of Jake Locker. Locker finally has a quarterback guru as his head coach. Whittenhunt worked wonders reviving Philip Rivers in San Diego last season, and he'll need to do the same with Locker. The biggest knock on Locker so far is his inability to stay healthy. In seven games last season, he passed for 1,256 yards and 8 touchdowns while adding 2 more on the ground. Now, they were pretty decent last year run-pass ratio, 66% pass, 46% run, but I think Whittenhunt's going to make them throw a lot. And I mean a lot. But I don't know, and because of that, I got them going last in the AFC South. Bruggle, schedule, JT, your thoughts on the team and the outlook.
Well, I'm thinking they're going to be worse than they were last year. I'm thinking that Justin Hunter, the jury's still out on him. I think it's going to be a rough year for the Tennessee Titans, who play the AFC. Who they play? They play the NFC. Excuse me, the AFC North and the NFC East. The ground game is going to be probably dependent on their rookie, Bishop Stanky. And I'm looking for big things from one particular guy in the passing game. And I think because of the inaccuracy of and this is I'm just not saying from the NFL. This goes back to his college days where he was just a little over 50% accuracy, which is not good for a quarterback. That the safest way to pass and get a completed pass for a young quarterback. And I've said it over and over again, and I know Victor knows what I'm talking about. Young quarterback with accuracy issues, the quickest way to complete a pass for a young quarterback is to dump it off to his security blanket, which would be the tight end. Exactly.
So, Jared Cook, well, see, I wanted you to save your little fantasy forecast until after we did the schedule, but since you did it, we'll do it now. Give me your you're giving me your offensive player. Give me your defensive player because I agree with you. Cook's going to be a vital part of this team, but Delaney, not Cook. I'm sorry, Cook went to St. Louis. Delaney Walker is, and last year he had 6 touchdowns, so that's not a bad thing. And you saw how Antonio Gates was last year. Delaney Walker is a younger, more physical Antonio Gates. So. Give me your offensive and defensive fantasy players.
Well, I gave you, wow. Now, it's a toss of the coin because I really like this young kid that's just coming into the league, and he got a somewhat established veteran that I think is going to have a pretty good year. But I'll go with the unobvious. Let me put it that way. Because everyone's jumping on a bandwagon for the running back, I'm going to go to the tight end. I think the tight end is going to have a hell of a year. As long as he stays healthy, he's going to have a better year than he had last year. And I like his – he had 60 catches, 571 yards, and 6 touchdowns last year. I think he can get at least 15 more catches out of that and probably – 3 to 4 more touchdowns, at least, from Delaney Walker. So I like Delaney Walker. And I go on the other side, and I'm looking. And, you know, the one guy I'm looking at here that he made the move from the Denver Broncos, and now he's with Tennessee Titans. He's an inside linebacker, Wesley Woodyard. I like him a lot. So that's what I'm going with.
Dude, you picked my two.
You picked I don't know what to tell you, man. Let me put it this way. You asked for my advice a few days ago.
Wait a minute.
You asked me for my advice a few days ago, and I had to damn near twist your arm to grab this kid. Now you're jumping all over. I'm talking
now
about
listen.
The tight end.
Listen. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Here's what we're going to do. Okay, we're going to play a little thing because Jerry and I have not gone over. We didn't do our pre-production and we didn't, you know, look at each other's picks and whatnot. Now, true, I did have Jerry tell me to pick up Delaney Walker during my last draft because we sat up and discussed that. But we might do it anyway, but I picked him up hesitantly because I saw some other players I wanted. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know what? He got 6 touchdowns. That was pretty much all of Jake Locker's touchdowns last year. Pretty much. He had 8 touchdowns. Randy Walker caught 6 of them. Think about that. He caught 6 of the 8. So it smacked me in the face and said, you know what, okay, there you go.
But well, listen to this. Listen to this. Who led the who was tied for the lead in touchdowns, in total touchdowns?
On the team?
Who was tied for the leading in touchdowns for the team?
Oh, Delanie Walker.
And Chris Johnson, who's no longer there. They each had six touchdowns. So I'm just saying.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And you took my guy Wesley Woodyard. Now Wesley isn't a he's a good player because he's a run stuffer as well. He can cover back.
Yep.
Not that fast, but he's fast enough.
Yep.
Those were actually my two guys I was going to pick.
Great minds think alike.
Agreement. That's true. But I'm going to go with Bishop Sankey. That kid, he has the body of a guy that's going to cause some trouble. Now, again, I don't think that Tennessee's going to do that well this year, only because I don't like their young talent as much as I like the other talent in the division.
Mm-hmm.
And who they're playing, only because who they're playing. Now, Sankey, you got Kendall Wright, who's got speed to burn. I forgot who they picked up as a wide receiver to take Wright's place. Not Wright. What's my man?
Kenny Britt.
Kenny Britt's place. I can't remember who it is right now.
Dexter McCluster.
Yes, McCluster's playing that slash role, running back. Slash wide receiver role again. But odds are he's going to be out there a lot more at receiver than he is at running backs. When they need to change the pace back, he might be in there. Keshawn Green's knees are done. They are so done. So, and Justin Hunter isn't a bad guy either. He's young as well. I like Hunter. He's in my top 100 receivers, actually. But we're not talking about their potential now. We're talking about who's going to have a big impact this year. And I think the two we mentioned are going to have it. But I want to throw in Bishop Sankey in there because I'm telling you, you can steal him late. Steal him late. Because not that many people, I mean, granted, folks might load up on running backs. Let those guys pick their quarterbacks in the first couple of rounds. Let them do it while you steal running backs and wide receivers and other players. Because if you didn't notice, ladies and gentlemen, this year, and I'm saying it now live on the show, this year, the quarterback position, the wide receiver position, and just a little bit of the tight end position are stacked with talent. Running backs are pretty good, too. But you're going to run out of those impactful running backs quick. So, you know, I'm not trying to give away our secrets or nothing, but that's what we do. So here we go. Let's go over the schedule real quick. And as I already said, I think they're going to finish last in the division. I'll give you my win-losses, but I want you to go win and loss as I call them off.
Sure.
Okay, they open up the season at Kansas City.
Loss.
Home for Dallas.
Loss.
At Cincinnati.
Loss.
At Indianapolis.
Loss.
Home for Cleveland.
Win.
Home for Jacksonville.
Win.
At Washington.
Loss.
Home for Houston.
Win.
Get a bye week. At Baltimore.
Loss.
Home for Pittsburgh.
Loss.
At Philly.
Loss.
At Houston.
Loss.
Home for the Giants.
Win.
Home for the Jets.
Loss.
At Jacksonville.
Loss.
Finish up home with New England. I mean, with Indianapolis, I apologize.
Another loss.
So you got them 3-13?
I have 4-12. They win in Cleveland, they win in Jacksonville, they win in Houston, and they win against the Giants. 4-12, 5-11, somewhere around there.
I got them similarly 4-12, but different losses. I have Jacksonville actually sweeping Jacksonville.
Okay.
I have them surprising. Again, I'm going to say surprising Cincinnati. And
I don't think that's going to happen. The reason why I'm saying this is they're going to be running the ball a lot in Cincinnati.
Uh-huh.
And their run defense is not that good, meaning Tennessee's.
Listen, I know. That's why Woodyard is in there. And they got a couple big guys up front. Listen, I think it's going to be an upset. I'm calling it an upset. But I also think they're going to split with Houston. Which game? I think it's going to be the one at Houston. I think it's going to be the one at Houston only because I'm not sure if Fitzgerald is going to be the quarterback by week 13.
Who?
Fitzpatrick, Fitzgerald, whatever his name is.
Fitzpatrick, man. Come on, get these names right. Fitzpatrick.
Well, hey, I told you, whenever Jerry becomes the team mascot, the team sucks. So
Stop.
So Fitzpatrick, I don't think he's going to be the quarterback by that point in the season. They're going to go to old boy from LSU. And with any rookie at home, it's going to be a rough start regardless. It's going to be a better start at home for him than it is on the road. I think that's when they're going to decide, okay, well, you know what? Let's see what this guy has. We know we got him in the fifth, sixth round, whatever case may be, but let's see. By that time, Aaron Foster would have been beat up, and Andre Brown would have been beat up, so they're going to throw him in there. And I think that's why Tennessee wins that game. I have him 4-12 as well, but those are the four games I got. They're doing sweeping Jacksonville. Actually, you know what? Jacksonville's going to be a lot better than people think. But I'm going to stick with it. Sweeping Jacksonville, splitting with Houston, and surprising Cincinnati in week three. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got about 23 minutes left alive there. That was the first of eight teams we're going to talk about. Let's go to the team I think is going to finish third. Let's go to the team I think is going to finish third. And to some surprise, at least a lot of people think it's a surprise, let me hit my music first. Lemonade time. Why can't I hear lemonade? There.
I hear it.
Can you hear it? All right, here we go. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. I'm getting a lot of flack on this, but let's do it. Finishing third in the AFC South will be the Houston Texans.
You son of a, you know what?
Actually, this guy isn't hot, but right now he's hot-headed. Andre Johnson seems to put up astounding numbers despite the erratic quarterback play in Houston. Johnson has played in all 32 games over the last two seasons and hauled in a combined 221 receptions for 3,005 yards. He only has 9 touchdowns for the same time span, though. But the one contest for Houston, is solid play from Johnson. Now, I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, Johnson might not play this year. He might not play. He is that unhappy. Who's not had the struggles of the quarterback position were well documented last season. Case Keenum was serviceable in 8 games, but completed just 54.2% of his passes and 9 touchdowns with 6 interceptions. Jerry, new BFF, Ryan Fitzpatrick is also a contention for the job, but has thrown 66 picks, I'm going to say it again, 66 picks over the last 4 seasons. Dak Patrick is my guy, a guy I really like, Arian Foster, who is one of the NFL's best running backs, if you can stay healthy. Last year, the 6-year veteran battled through injuries all season long before being shut down for the final 8 games. When he played in all 16 games, which he's only done twice in his career, he's at 1,520 yards and 16 touchdowns on the ground. Now, this team was a 60-40% pass run ratio. I really think that's going to change this year. It's going to change. The reason why it's going to change, they're not going to be able to throw the ball. They're not. Sorry to tell you, but they're not going to throw the ball. So, well, they're going to throw, they're going to be able to throw with that well. Let me put it that way. So, with that being said, JG, your team, you have the floor.
Well, I have to disagree with you. I do believe Andre Johnson will be back. I do believe that the quarterback position, which it seems unsettled now with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tom Savage and Case Keenum as the three quarterbacks, quite naturally the last two I've been talking about will be battling right now for the second spot. Tom Savage has been showing pretty well. That's one reason why they got rid of T.J. Yates, I should say. Tom Savage and Case Keenum, like I said, are going to be fighting for the second, who's going to be the backup. I'm thinking the quarterback coach slash head coach, or head coach slash quarterback coach, Mr. O'Brien, is going to coach up these guys very well. They do have a good foundation on this team. They have a good team. This team has been a, except for last year, a playoff team. They had pieces that got hurt, and circumstances last year caused them to have an extremely bad season. And people have written them off, which is fine. New influx of coaching, including the head coach, and the offensive and defensive coordinators, number one pick with Jadeveon Clowney. Got second-year tight ends that they're going to be using. Running back who was a perennial all-pro until he got hurt last year. A bright future, in my opinion, of this team, surprising in the AFC South. They may not win the division because of the talent level of the Indianapolis Colts, but they'll have a respectable season. Not third. They're going to be the second ones in the division, and possibly things go right with a shot to get into the playoffs late in the season.
Mr. Jerry Taylor, that sounds like a true homer, but it's okay. I still love you, bro. All right, here's the deal. This team is terrible. The defense is going to have to play offense as well. That's how bad this is. They're going to have to play like the 92 or 94, I forget which year it was. They're going to play like the Baltimore Ravens did. They're going to have to hold teams to 9 points or less in order to win. Now, they got the defense to do it. They have the defense to do it. But are they going to be able to do it? That's the question. I really don't think so. I think that this Texas team is not going to be as potent as people think they're going to be, including yourself. If Andre Johnson is serious and he does decide to sit out this year, or at least to sit out to week 8 or whatever it is, then, you know, it's going to be bad, very bad for him. With that being said, I'm going to go straight into my fantasy starts or my fantasy projection here. I think DeAndre Hopkins is going to be the only real option for whoever the quarterback is, whether it's Fitzpatrick or Keenum or Savage. Whoever wins that job, right now the fight is going to be Fitzpatrick because he's a veteran. So that means Arian Foster is going to see a bunch of eight-man fronts. A bunch. And with that being the case, I don't think he's a top 20 pick this year. I think he's more of a third round, late fifth round pick. No.
I hope I'm in the same draft room as you when that comes around, because
you know you're wrong, dude.
I know my running backs. I know my running backs.
That's fine, but that doesn't.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I'll say it to you like this: different run scheme, lack of offensive power, a new head coach. That is 8 men in the box. That doesn't bode well for Arians. Coming off surgery, that doesn't bode well for that guy. Not at all. And the fact they got
Andre Brown.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that Johnson is vehemently upset with the organization, talking about he might not even play. No real tight end other than Graham to help. Dude, he's going to get a lot of carries, but he's going to be like MJD, running into walls. So go ahead.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I have to respectfully disagree with it, but this is going to be one of the surprise teams in the league. And just think about this for a minute. This coach coached in New England and coached somewhat good quarterback when he was in New England, and that offense was pretty prolific when they were in New England. And I don't, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think they had. I don't think when he was the OC or the quarterback's coach, whatever it was, that they had a decent running game. I think they relied more on the quarterback.
Tom Brady and Fitzpatrick. You telling me Tom Brady and Fitzpatrick?
Wait a minute. Just listen to what I'm saying here. This guy coached and went to Penn State. He went to Penn State and coached up a quarterback who had his best year in college. He had his best years in college, okay? So he's coached Tom Brady, and Tom Brady, I think, had one of his best years. I think that's when the year he threw 50 touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken, but one of the best years Tom Brady had was when he was coaching Tom Brady. And he goes to a college that is in disarray and coaches up a quarterback who had his best years when he was the coach of that quarterback. So I'm not saying Fitzpatrick's going to be Tom Brady, but I'm saying that if it's Fitzpatrick, and it quite naturally could be Tom Savage going in there and doing the things, surprisingly according to a lot of people, that are going to, because of the coaching of the coach, who happens to be one of these coaches like Mark Trestman, I'm trying to think of the other guy, I can't think of him right now, who happens to be somewhat of a quarterback guru and able to teach quarterbacks and get quarterbacks to play to their or above their head, supposedly, or to a high level. I think this is going to happen. And the reason I'm saying this, you're saying he's going to get eight men in the box. Well, I know they're going to run the ball, okay? But I can also believe because he's pretty well-versed in getting the most out of a passing game, meaning Coach O'Brien, that they're going to be passing the ball pretty efficiently too. So they got three athletic tight ends in Graham, Griffin, and their rookie Fedorowicz, who's mainly probably a blocking tight end, and I can see them surprising a few teams that they're going to be playing, because they play, as they said, they play the NFC East and the AFC North, and we'll see what happens. If you want to go down the schedule, we can go down the schedule, and I know probably I have an idea what you're going to be saying. It's probably going to be in direct contrast to what I believe, but go right ahead.
Here we go. Well, let me give you my defense player. Of course, you got J.J., Jadeveon, and all those other guys. But I think a comeback player, hopefully he'll stay healthy this year, is Brian Cushing. The guy's a tackling machine. His problem is he's not healthy. So I'm going to go with DeAndre Hopkins and Brian Cushing. I forgot who they got back at safety. I think they picked up somebody good at free agency at safety. I'm not sure, but I'll have to look it up. But those are my guys for Houston.
Okay, my guys are the same guy. My guys is DeAndre Hopkins, second-year wide receiver. Even though it's a different system, he's got a year under his belt being a professional. I think he's going to he showed flashes last year. He's going to be that much better this year. Excuse me. Remember, they tapped him as the next Roddy White coming out as a rookie last year. So I'm looking for big things for DeAndre Hopkins. On the other side, I'm looking at a guy who's going to benefit from Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt. I'm looking at Whitney Mercilus as the guy on the defensive side.
That's good. That's a good one. That's a very good one. I think he's going to pick up where Antonio Smith left off.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good one because the kid is he is an animal. And then you put all those guys on that line, and you have Wade Phillips calling. Well, is Wade calling? No. From
Romeo Crennel.
Yeah, Romeo Crennel playing with them.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, that's gonna be crazy. That's a good pick there, buddy. Anyway. At Washington.
Win.
Right. At Oakland.
Win.
At Giants.
Loss.
Home for Buffalo.
Win.
At Dallas.
Loss.
Home for Indy.
Loss.
At Pittsburgh.
Loss.
At Tennessee.
Win.
Home for Philly.
Loss.
At Cleveland.
Win.
Home for Cincinnati.
Win.
Home for Tennessee.
Win.
At Jacksonville.
Loss.
At Indianapolis.
Loss.
Home for Baltimore.
Loss.
And home for Jacksonville.
Win.
And you have them at 8-8?
8-8. I think that's fair. You look at what I put there, I think that's very fair.
I'm looking at 7-9, 6-10. Because they're going to lose to Washington. In an upset, they'll lose to Oakland. They'll lose to the Giants. They'll beat Buffalo. They'll lose to Dallas. They'll lose to Indy. They'll surprise Pittsburgh. I think, which one did I say Tennessee was going to win? Oh, they'll beat Tennessee. I think they'll lose to Philly. They'll beat Cleveland. They'll beat Cincinnati. They'll lose to Tennessee. I said they'll split with Jacksonville. No, I said they'll split with Tennessee. No. Okay, yeah. They'll beat Jacksonville. They'll lose to Indy. They'll lose to Baltimore. And I think Jacksonville knocks them out the last game, even though I gave it to them. Yeah. I got to go with Jacksonville. So I think Jacksonville. I get Jacksonville 4 wins.
Let me put it this way: it's going to be very interesting if the season is going what I'm thinking it's going. That last game at Jacksonville or against Jacksonville at home could be Blake Bortles and Tom Savage as the starting quarterbacks.
I agree. But I smell a little action over under here. I think 7 is a good number here. I think 7 is a good number, yeah. I'm smelling 7. I don't know, though.
Smelling 7 as what?
Oh, 7 wins is the max for the Texans.
So you're saying that if I get 7 wins, then I win it?
No. 8 wins.
No. No.
Seven.
You just said that there'd be. Seven. You said be 6-10, so that means you don't think they're going to win more than 6 games, huh?
7 is a push. I'm gonna call 7 as a push.
All and give me six, and I'll say they're going to win more than six games, and six is a push.
No. Seven is the push, because I think they're going to win six. If I think they're going to win six, I'm not going to say they're not going to win six, Jerry. That doesn't make sense. Seven is the push, because if they get six, you know, I think there's a good chance they'll get seven, but I definitely don't think they're going to get eight. You're calling eight. I'm calling six. Seven is a push.
Okay. What is it? What is it? Today is the 5th of July.
Yeah.
Today is the 5th of July. And you know what? I'm writing it in the book as we speak.
Write it down.
7-5-14.
6 wins or less, I win. 7 is a push. 8, you win. Can I get an amen or something like that since we're still live?
7-5, 6-10, Victor wins. 7-9 is a push. 8-8, I win. I got it written down here.
All right.
Exactly
now, what's on the table now?
Well, you make it a lot on yourself, young blood.
No. Since you're writing stuff down, I want you to write down the amount, too.
Okay. We can go one bill. How's that?
A Benjamin Franklin?
I'm not talking about anything less than that.
Okay, you say one bill. Some people might think that's $1. I'm making sure. You're not going to try to trick me.
I'm not talking about a George Washington.
Okay, so we're agreeing to a Benjamin Franklin on our way.
I wrote it down here. It's written down in this book I got. Absolutely.
All right.
7-5.
Well, since you said that, I got this for you.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
So, absolutely. It's on like hot butter popcorn, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it right here. On the 5th of July, 2014, Jerry and Vic make an agreement. It's going to be a $100 bet. I want some people to chime in that's listening to the show. You know, later on, I go on Sunday show, Thursday show, doesn't matter. What you think? Houston will not get more than 6 wins, but if they get 7, it's a push. If they get 8, as Jerry called, he wins. 8 or more, he wins. For $100, right here on the FSP show. All right, we got about 2 minutes left alive there, so let me do this real quick before we move on and finish out this and then go to the NFC South.
Wait a minute. You're gonna do two divisions this week?
Well, I'm not gonna be here next week, guy.
Oh, okay.
Did you want to hold off or?
No, it's your show, man. I'm just I'm all here for the ride. So we're doing two divisions. I'm on a ride here.
All right. I'm gonna try to get through them quickly though.
Okay.
Here we go. On Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, the Master Plan will be hosted by JT ATM Money. And tomorrow, JT, we'll be talking about, real quickly,
the demise of my fantasy baseball team.
I call that when you drafted it. Dude. So that's great. That's going to be an interesting show.
It will be interesting.
It'll be short. Especially if Jerry forgets to turn the mic on. But we'll talk about that later. Today,
the mic will be on for the whole show. I guarantee it. Be on for the whole show. Because there's some interesting things that I want to say about some players that are in play right now. So, young players.
I think
players.
You're going to go on a rant. You might be going on a rant. I smell a rant. All right. So, that's 10 a.m. Sunday. Eastern Standard Time here on blogtalkradio.com/BICHBK. Then it will be streaming later on that day, 24/7, 365 at spotonradio.web.com for great information, motivation all week long. Then on Thursday, we've got FSP Cruise Show, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with JT, Black, and Jeff doing their thing. Then you're back here Saturday, since Vic is going to be gone for the next month. It's going to be JT holding it down right here doing the FSP show, going over the schedules of the NFL, along with whatever else happens in the world of sports that day or that week. So he'll be doing that. 1 p.m. each Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio. That's what we do. Everything is streamed 24/7, 365 at foxhornradio.web.com. And it's all brought to you by Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com, where winners win and players play. So go there today to place your wager, just like Jerry's going to do for UFC. Make some money, JT. All right. With that being said, let's move on up to the team I think is going to finish second. Even though I said that they were going to have a lot of losses, I think they're going to finish second in the AFC South and surprise a lot of people. I'm talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay, Jackson, well, you know, we might not do the NFC South. We might not have enough time. Depends on what you say. So I'm going to do these without music. Here we go. Who's hot? An offense that struggles to find playmakers. Cecil Shorts qualifies as one of the few options. In his third season, he caught 66 passes for 777 yards and 3 touchdowns. Shorts had 8 games with at least 60 receiving yards. He was Chad Haney's favorite target last season, and will need to find a rhythm with rookie quarterback Blake Bortles should he find the field much. I think it's going to be Chad Haney for a while, and it's going to be pretty good for him. Who's not hot? Haney earned regular playing time last season and completed 60% of his passes for 3,241 yards, 13 touchdowns, but he also threw 14 interceptions, giving him a career 56-62 TD to interception ratio. The last thing a struggling offense needs is to turn the ball over, something that has plagued Haney throughout his NFL career. Now, they're saying the X factor in this game is Bortles.
Who?
Broidles.
Who?
Blake Broidles.
The X factor? He could be.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think the X factor is going to be a guy that wasn't even mentioned, and I think it's going to be very good for this team. And that's Toby Gerhardt. I think Toby Gerhardt is on total about close to 400 times this year. He's a big back. He can run, he can move, and he can catch. With the weapons picked up in the draft, of course, they're rookies, they're young, and wide receivers, he's a short, might not see a lot of double coverage. Mercedes Lewis might find a way to catch the ball. I honestly think that the offense is going to be a lot better because they're going to subscribe to the Seattle Seahawks method. Who's in the front office and the head coach? Seattle Seahawks alumni. They're
mm-hmm.
building this team like the Seattle Seahawks. Run, pass when you have to. Don't need big receivers or big-name receivers to be successful. All you need is successful defense, an offensive line that can move people, and a running back who's not afraid to bang, bang, bang. And they have that in Jacksonville. I honestly think that Toby Gerhardt's going to get over 1,300 yards rushing and maybe 7 to 8 touchdowns this year. I honestly believe that. How will that affect the receivers? That's going to open up the receivers a bit. Now, will they catch the ball and can he throw it to the right person? That's the question. That is the question. But I got Toby Gerhardt on the offensive side. Now, if I could, I would put Luke Jokel, because he's a great offensive lineman, that they're going to move to the right tackle where he's good at, because I think they just drafted a left tackle, if I'm not mistaken, with their draft pick, with their number one overall draft pick. So that's going to be pretty good for Jacksonville. On the defensive side, of course, you got Paul Posluszny. Who else do I have here listed on my list from Jacksonville other than Paul? This isn't good. I'm supposed to have this prepared. and I got to flip through my pages like Jerry does all the time when I'm talking. Jacksonville, wow. Didn't they pick up a few people in the free agency? Only got one in my top 100, or my top 50, and that's Paul who plus 11. Oh, well.
Okay.
I can't remember who. But go ahead, JT.
All right, well, this is going to be a rough year for Jacksonville Jaguars. Got a rookie quarterback and two young wide receivers that are going to be probably starting some way, form, or fashion. They had a decent draft, picking up Blake Bortles, and then the next two guys were the two rookie wide receivers, Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson, from big-name schools, USC and Penn State, respectively. And they picked up, besides Toby Gerhardt, they picked up Chris Clemens from a defensive end from the Seattle Seahawks, if I'm not mistaken.
That's who it was. Chris Clemens.
And you know what? I'm going to go on the offensive side. And I like this kid, Allen Robinson. They're going to have to throw to somebody. And these two wide receivers, just like Andy Dalton started with A.J. Green, Blake Bortles more than likely, even though he's going to sit. These two wide receivers are going to get every opportunity to start and to excel. Quite naturally, Chan Henne is designated as the quarterback of this year. Blake Bortles is supposedly, according to the coaching staff, going to sit and watch and learn. So I like Allen Robinson out of the two rookie wide receivers that are going to make a difference. On the offensive side, quite naturally, you would think I would talk about Toby Gerhardt. But everyone's talking about Toby Gerhardt because they're excited about the fact that he's going to be getting the ball a lot in this offense. And on the other side of the ball, I'm going to go to an outside linebacker. I'm not going to go to middle, and I'm not going to go to Chris Clemens or Paul Posluszny. I'm going to go to number 55 on your schedule and in your program, Mr. Geno Hayes.
I like Geno. I think Geno's going to be an outstanding backer, but...
But they're going to have a long year.
Nah, it'll be better than Houston. There we go. I'm going to change it up since I picked them to be number two in the South. I'll pick my picks first, and I'll let you pick yours. At Philly is a loss. At Washington is a loss. A surprise, they win at Indianapolis. They beat San Diego at San Diego. They lose to Pittsburgh. They beat Tennessee at Tennessee. They beat Cleveland. They lose to Tennessee. They beat Cleveland. They beat Miami. They lose to Cincinnati. They beat Dallas in London in a shocker. They lose to Indianapolis. They lose to the Giants. They lose to Houston. They lose to Baltimore. They beat Tennessee, and they beat Houston at Houston. That gives them 8-8, if I'm not mistaken.
No way, no how. Ain't happening, can't happen.
Will
Philly, they lose.
Is there.
At Philly, they lose. At Washington, they lose. Home against Indianapolis, they lose. At San Diego, loss. Home against Pittsburgh, loss. At Tennessee, loss. Home against Cleveland, they win. Home against Miami, they win. At Cincinnati, Cincinnati's one of the better teams at home. At Cincinnati, they lose. Versus Dallas, which is another road game overseas, they lose against Dallas. Bye week, at Indianapolis, they're going to lose that. Indianapolis is very strong at home. Playing the Giants at home, they lose that. They win against Houston at home. At Baltimore, they're going to lose that. They play Tennessee. They win against Tennessee, meaning they're going to split with the division rivals. And then at Houston, like I said, they split with the division rivals. They lose against Houston at home, which puts them at 4-12, or maybe 5-11. They have a better team. They don't have a better team than Houston. Not even close. Not even close.
But what they have is stability. They have stability, which Houston does not. Jacksonville is a better overall team, and they're going to prove it this year. So you're going 4-12? How about this? A second wager. Yeah, buddy. 5 is a push. 6, I win. 4, you, 4 or less, you win.
So you said they're gonna win 4 more games than they won last year, because they were 4-12 last year.
Yes. However, we're going off of what you said. They're only going to win 4 games this year. That's why I said a 5 is a push, 6 is a win for me.
Five and 11 is the push.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Let me just write this down. 4-12, I win. Right?
Or less. 4 or less, you win.
4 or less, I win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
5 is a push.
6 and 10 or more, quite naturally, is a big win.
Yes.
So 5 and 11 is a push. 4-12 is I win. 6 and 10, you win.
Yep.
I mean, I'm saying they're going to stay status quo, and you're saying that they're going to win at least 2 more games versus last year.
Definitely, if not more.
They play the NFC East and the AFC North.
Tough defensive divisions, but not unbeatable. Steady on, steady wrong, Negro. Let's go.
We can go. Why not? We can go.
All right. $100 on the line for this one as well.
No. I didn't say that. I said we can go, but I didn't say for that.
Oh, no. No. Where your balls? They shrunk up?
They went to half.
Oh, they went where? They went back in your stomach? Is that what you said?
Halfway.
Oh, halfway in your stomach. Nah, dude. It's 100, dog. It's 100. Let's do it. If you're that confident, and I know you're not.
No problem. We'll go that way.
So you're agreeing to the terms, correct?
I have more faith in my Texans than the Jacksonville Jaguars. No, I'm not going that route. Nope. No way.
Nope.
Dude, we got more other divisions we can go.
Dude. You see, look at you. This proves that you're not confident that they're only going to win 4 games. And I'm telling
you're
you,
right.
They're going to be better.
You're absolutely right. I'm saying they're going to, but I can't say 100%. They won four games last year. They may be capable of winning at least one more. I have written down here 4-12, 5-11. So, that's what I'm thinking. They're going to be around. So 5-11, they're going to be a push. 4-12, I'm going to win. And they could easily eke out some fluke way another win. So,
what?
No. I'm not going.
Come on.
You know what, dude? You're such a wuss. That's okay.
We can go. Okay. You're going to the NFC East, right?
No, we're not doing that right now.
Huh?
We're not doing that now.
Okay, well,
do another division.
Not a problem. Then we can. This is what we can do. We can table this conversation. You know, I'm going to say this. Next week, I'll be doing the AFC, excuse me, the NFC, the starting the NFC. So I'll be doing the NFC South next week, and then after the week after that, you won't be around for a whole month, right?
That's correct. You might have to call me from the show to see if
okay.
I'm available.
Okay. Because then we can always visit it back to one of these divisions that you chair to make a wager on. It could be any of the NFC divisions.
The Redskins will win the NFC East. So
excuse me?
The Redskins will win the NFC East. So, but
well, we can make a wager on that if you like, because that ain't happening.
But you're such a
push. That's not happening.
You're such a push. It's okay. Well, once we get there, we'll discuss it. Let's go to the last team that we both agree is going to win the AFC South, even though JT's scared to put his money where his big mouth is on this Jacksonville team. I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, you know who the man is here now. It's FSP. And you know who wears the skirt in the relationship, which is JT.
And it's a nice skirt at that. And it's a nice skirt at that, because I'm a very fashionable person. So, see, you trying to shame me into that? It's not happening, because I can go with the flow. So go right ahead. There's no shame in my game, man.
The knee-high stockings. He's wearing a pleated shirt and knee-high stockings.
There you go.
I'm going to say on that.
There you go.
He's a little cross-dresser.
I'm making a fashion statement.
All right, so here we go.
Yep.
Who's hot? Andrew Luck became a much more efficient quarterback in his second year in the NFL. Luck cut his interceptions in half from 18 in 2012 to 9 last season and was more effective on the ground, rushing for 377 yards and 4 touchdowns. He's starting to show why he has the can't-miss draft pick coming out of Stanford. And if you haven't jumped on the T.Y. Hilton bandwagon, which I wanted to do, but JT told me no, time to get Mike Wallace. Now would be a good time. Who's not? Trent Richardson was a bust after being traded from Cleveland early last season. Richardson averaged just 2.9 yards per carry on 157 rushes and found the end zone only 3 times in 14 games with the Colts. Vic Ballard played in only one game last season, but showed promise in his 2012 rookie campaign and may be a handcuff. With an offseason geared around QB Luck and the passing game, the shine may have worn off on Richardson. X Factor. For the first time since 2001, Reggie Wayne failed to play in all 16 games. The 35-year-old was on pace for another solid season before tearing his ACL in the 7th game. Teaming with Hilton, Wayne gives Luck 2 of the best targets in the game today. Not to mention Hakeem Nicks is on that roster now. Last year, 59% pass, 41% run. I would see more of that, more of the same from the two teams, from the team, especially adding Hakeem in there. I think they're looking at a 3 wide receiver set, which means there's going to be no fullback, and I think Richardson's going to do well in that offense this year. If he does not, he's going to flame out because there shouldn't be a lot of people in the box going against Indianapolis this year. It should not be. One cut and go type of runner. Richardson could be a sleeper, but I wouldn't pick him until like 10. 12th round, something like that, whereas he's not going to be worth, lining up or holding on to.
he's a guy that you say, well, I'll get him just in case. You never know. But with that being said, my hot guy is going to be Hakeem Nicks. I think playing the slot is going to be T.Y. Hilton, and he's going to tear it up. But opposite of Reggie Wayne would be Hakeem. Now, I don't know how well Reggie's going to come back from that Achilles tear or whatever, or that ACL tear, but Hakeem is virtually healthy. He's a very talented player. He's a big guy that can stretch the field, and he can take the ball a long way when he catches it. With a better quarterback, and I think Andrew Luck is a better quarterback than Eli Manning, he'll be in a position to catch the ball and run a lot more, especially with T.Y. going deep a lot and Reggie Wayne going underneath. So you got a middle, a short guy, and you got a deep guy, a short guy, and a middle guy in this offense. That's not including the tight end or tight ends. So I think this is going to bode well for Hakeem. On the other side, I think Dequell Jackson, who was a tackling machine in Cleveland, will become an even better tackler and producer in Indianapolis. You pair him with Jarrell Freeman, and you've got two guys that can really hunt for the ball. Your boy got spent for the first three games, I believe, Mathis, because of the estrogen or whatever it is they found in his drug test. So he's out for a little bit, and that gives Dequell more opportunities to get to the ball and get to the quarterback along with Freeman. So those are my two guys, offense and defense, that I say keep an eye on. JT.
My two guys, I'm going to go to the defensive side first. This guy just come over this year, and he is a torpedo in the back end of that defense. Going to be playing safety, coming from the Jets, LaRon Hitman Landry. I like him a lot. He's going to help shore up that defense in the back create havoc for opposing wide receivers when they know that they have to deal with this human missile, and LaRon Landry. On the other side, on the offensive side, I'm going to go off the grid. I'm going to go way off the grid, surprise you and probably anybody who's listening. I think this kid's going to be a deep sleeper for a lot of people. I'm going to be surprised. He's finally going to do what we did in Cleveland. I'm talking about Trent Richardson. I like Trent Richardson this year to be a very good back, especially when they're not going to be loading up in the box because of the passing threats of Andrew Luck and his wide receivers and tight ends. I like Trent Richardson.
You know what? And again, I was saying he could be and should be a very good back based upon what we were talking about. However, I don't know. I got to see what he looks like in preseason. I got to see what he looks like in OTAs and stuff like that. Even though I'm not going to be able to see OTAs because I'm going to be gone, but I will be able to see preseason and the Hall of Fame game. I'm not sure who's in these first preseason game or when it is, but it's an opportunity for me to check him out. And that'll be a barometer to see what I do as far as Trent Richardson, depending on those preseason games. So anyway, that's that. Let's go over this schedule, so we get out of here. Big game, first game of the season at Denver. Who do you got?
Lose at Denver, win at Philly, lose at Philly, win at Jacksonville.
They're home for Philly.
They lose against Philly Monday night. They just played a big game at Denver, and then they're going to come around and play Monday night. They're going to lose against Philly. At home. At Jacksonville, they win. Home, the next two games, they win those two games, Tennessee and Baltimore. At Houston, they lose that game. That's a toss-up game because they usually play well against Houston, but not because they're going against Houston on a Thursday night, which is a short week. I'm giving Houston a win. Home against Cincinnati, they win that. At Pittsburgh, they lose that. At the Giants on a Monday night, they lose that. A bye week on week 10, they home against New England, they lose. They win against Jacksonville. They win against Washington. At Cleveland, they win. They split with Houston. They win at home against Houston. At Dallas, they lose and close it out on the road with a Tennessee win. I have them at 9-7, 10-6.
Wow. You think it's going to be that tough for the South this year? Okay. They lose at Denver, win at Philly. Surprise loss at Jacksonville, as I already told you. They beat Tennessee. They, well, you know what? Depends on how long Ray Wright's suspension is. But I'm going to go ahead and give Baltimore a loss since it's at home in Indianapolis. They beat Houston. They beat Cincinnati. They lose to Pittsburgh. Beat the Giants. I believe since it's a home game, they're going to beat New England. Beat Jacksonville because they already lost to them. Lose to Washington. RG3 is going to show off yet again. They beat Cleveland. Beat Houston. I got them sweeping Houston. Beat Dallas. And beat Tennessee. I think that's like 11-5, 12-4, something like that. So I think they're going to be a double-digit run team again. So that's what I got.
Okay, well, everybody's entitled to their opinion. Someone's got to be right, someone's got to be wrong. Just so happens I'm going to be right. But it's what it is.
Well, I mean, if you're so right, why don't you go ahead and put that wager up on the Jaguars? That's all I'm saying.
Because
Your vagina got stuck in your mouth or something? What was it?
Why is it got to be like that? You know, I don't say things like that to you. I mean, you got to abuse me like that?
I have to in order to get what you're supposed to do out. And that
let me put it this way. It's been a couple of days. It's been a couple of days, so you should have gotten the results back. Where did you stand in your draft?
Oh, they didn't put it up yet.
Really?
But they didn't. But let me tell you what I was offered, and this is what I want to talk about real quick, ladies and gentlemen, before we go off the air. I'm glad you brought it up. I was offered, and I thought it was a decent deal, but I didn't like it, so I rejected it. I was offered Gronk, Sammy Watkins, and what running back did he offer me? And it was Gronk, Sammy Watkins, and I think Steven Jackson.
Four.
For Shady, Dunbar, and Eifert. I rejected that. One,
for
I don't like Watkins. Huh?
You were giving up Shady McCoy, Lance Dunbar, and who?
And Eifert.
Tyler Eifert. Yeah. And they were giving you Gronk, Steven Jackson, and Sammy Watkins.
Yeah. I didn't like
that. That was a joke. That's a joke.
Yeah, it is, and that's why I rejected
it. That's a joke.
And that would have left him, if I made that deal, he would have had T.Y. Hilton, Mike Evans, he would have had Marshawn Lynch, DeMarco Murray, and Shady, along with RG3, Vernon Davis, and I'm not stupid. So I countered. I sent him a more reasonable counteroffer. Right? Let me go to my team so I can tell you what I offered them. It was very, and I don't want to give up Shady. Let me put it that way.
Well, you know that the main cog, the main point in that trade, he was trying to get Shady from you. You know that.
I know.
Okay.
So what I countered was Shady, Eifert, and Dunbar for T.Y., Lynch, and Gronk. And I told him, the first offer was because I assumed a lot of risk with Lynch sitting out for a new contract, Gronk coming off of multiple injuries and surgeries.
The only solid performer was T.Y., and he now shares the ball with three running backs, Nix and Wayne, not to mention two solid tight ends. If you want Shady, these are my terms. If not, you know who I want, plus you already have a great set of RBs. So I think my deal is fairer than his, even though I might be raping him a little bit with T.Y., but I'm not sure what's going to happen with Gronk if he's going to make it through the whole season. Right?
Who's your two tight ends?
You know, I got Delanie Walker and Tyler Eifert, but I'm sending them Eifert. But in that running system in Cincinnati, Eifert is going to get a lot of play. He's going to have to block, but he's going to get a lot of play because he's going to be one-on-one with a strong safety or a linebacker. But
So you're giving him Lance Dunbar, too. Is that what you're doing?
Correct.
No. You're giving Lance Dunbar and Shady and Eifert for Gronk, T.Y. Hilton, and Marshawn Lynch.
That's exactly what I presented. That's what I presented. Because he'll have DeMarco Murray's handcuff. He was trying to give me, you know, Steve Jackson because I got his handcuff.
Right.
I got old boy. Right. And, you know, both Eifert and Gronk are out, so that's a wash. Even though Gronk is a better player, the problem is Gronk's come off several injuries, and you don't know if he's going to finish the season. Now, the Marshawn Lynch, Shady McCoy, he kind of wins with Shady because this is a PPR. But I also get more points because Shady's not going to touch the ball as much as Marshawn's going to touch the ball. But Marshawn's talking about he wants a new contract, and that's the issue. You know, so that's where I am in this. I sent him that trade offer, and we'll see what happens. And I think that's a more than enough fair trade, in my opinion. Your thoughts before we get out of here.
Well, answer me this. If you do that, and he still has Steven Jackson and he still would have, then I would do this. No, I wouldn't do that. No, I'd keep that trade the way it is. There's another way you can go, too, but I would give up the guy because I think he's going to be eventually, and very short term, that he's going to be the starting running back in Atlanta. I'm talking about Freeman. So but you throw him in there because he's got Steven Jackson. That you come back with another running back, and then pick up Christian Michael if nobody picked him up.
I think didn't we say he got picked? Christian Michaels is with who?
Excuse me?
Christian Michaels plays for who?
He plays for Seattle. He's a backup to Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. Is it going to be him or is it going to be old boy from last year? Turbin.
No. They're grooming Christian Michael to not Justin Forsett. They're grooming Christian Michael to be the backup. Absolutely. There's no two ways about that.
I want to go by team, but I can't. Well, I look at my that's the NY guy, NYK, something, AL or something like that. It's not his last name, it's spelled the correct way.
Who are you talking
Christian
about?
Christian
Michael. Spelled like Christine. 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 That spells like Christine, but it's Kristen.
That's bad for the mother and father.
You know how we do. Come on. You know how we do. You know how we do. Come on.
He is on the market. He is on the market.
He's not on anybody's roster?
Nah, but I got to figure out if I'm picking up Wilma's rock. So, I'll think about that. But anyway.
I'm telling you, Marshawn Lynch, I think they're going to try to do a running back by committee. even though Marshawn thinks he's going to run the ball a lot, and he's in a contract year, and they don't really don't want to pay him. So, and he's going to be 29, 30. I think he's going to be 30, close, really. I mean, really soon.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of wear on the tire. So, and he's due a big salary next year. So, I can see that there's a strong possibility that that Christian Michael gets the ball more this year.
Okay.
So you may want to go that route. Then you throw Dante Freeman in there and try to grab somebody else off his roster, because then you give him the handcuff to Steven Jackson. So. Some weakness. You get your weakness is wide receiver, right?
Yeah, that's why I wanted T.Y.
Well, I think you got if you grab Gronk and then you have Delanie Walker, I think you got two strong tight ends that you can flip flop or play the strongest matchup or whatever.
T.Y. Somebody can tell me get Roddy.
Who else does he have in wide receivers? You know,
Mike Evans. He's got a bunch of rookies. Give me a second, I'll tell you.
He grabbed a bunch of rookies?
Yeah, man. I'll tell you in a second. Let me get back to my team so I can
This is what I would do. I flip flop the rookies. I give him I add Devontae Freeman and you ask him for Sammy Watkins, along with T.Y. Hilton, Gronk and
Marshawn,
and see what happens. He wants Shady so bad. You throw in Shady, Devontae Freeman. I forget who else he asked for. And see what happens. It'd be 4-for-4 instead of 3-for-3.
Well, we'll see. We'll see, guys. But anyway, we got to get ready to get out of here.
All right.
We'll talk about this off the air.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday Edition, where we took you around the globe. We did UFC, which Jerry is going to find and love from now on, because he has no choice. And then we took you to a little NBA, action. We gave you a hypothetical situation with Cleveland. What could happen in Cleveland if they move some people around? Then we brought you back to what we do best, which is football. And we gave you some great advice, some people to look out for. Jerry made one bet and let his testicles shrink up inside of his stomach again. So now he has a giant on another bet. But still, he's still my boy. Boy Curl, I don't know what to call him now. But we'll see what happens. I only say this stuff because I want him to make the bet because he knows he's going to lose because it's very similar to our Seattle bet from a couple years ago. And he was so adamant about it. I think he learned his lesson to not doubt my prowess when it comes.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Because I told him about Seattle. I told him. And now he learned his lesson. So I guess the teacher has taught the pupil rather well, too well. But maybe he'll grow a set. Maybe they'll drop. Maybe he'll grow a third nipple. I don't know. But we did a great show today. I thank him for coming on and being my co-host, as usual. And the stalwart guy that he is, he's going to take over the show again while I go away for yet another mission and do my thing. And when I come back in August, it'll be preseason football. And a lot more to talk about. We'll get into our individual defensive players, our receivers, our running backs, our quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends, all that good stuff. And like we normally do in the month of August, I want to thank you all for listening. So, JT, what you got? Closing statements.
Tune in to tomorrow, where I'll be talking about my demise of my fantasy baseball team.
I called it.
And possibly, I'll be watching this UCF matches, and I would talk, maybe be able to talk about those also. And along with anything else that may hit my mind at the time, you never know what I'm going to talk about, but you can best believe it's going to be about some sports. That's my mantra. So with that being said, Victor, if you don't have anything else, it's you and I, Saturdays forever, it seems like. That's what we do. But from me to you and you to me, and you out there has been listening, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking Fantasy Sports and Politics. Fantasy.